Wow. I have to admit, I never would have thought of that. It seems to me, you do all your negotiating, you write the contract, and the associate's buying whatever percentage of the practice they're buying, and that's it. And everybody's happy, and you continue working until you decide the new owner is buying out the rest of the practice. But you're saying in the initial contract to stipulate, like by law, by whatever, by signature, that they
Right,
have to
legal, legal,
legally, that they
legal.
have to buy the rest of the practice one day. Why is that so crucial?
Well, again, it's from the win-win situation because it's important from the perspective of both the buyer and the seller. Let's talk about what the example is. Let's say there is no requirement for the younger partner to buy the second half. In that situation, the senior partner might have difficulty selling to someone. Let's say there is no requirement. So the senior doctor says, okay, I'm ready to sell it to you. And the younger person, who's now busier than a one-armed paper hanger, says, you know, doc, I'm doing just fine. I got more than I can handle. You go ahead and sell the practice. Well, that's someone, that senior partner, maybe is going to have trouble because maybe the person who he might be able to sell it to, or she might be able to sell it to, doesn't want to be partners with the younger doctor. So the senior doctor would be at a serious disadvantage there. Conversely, the younger doctor would be at a disadvantage, if he says to the senior doctor, well, look, you go ahead and sell it. So now the senior doctor says, okay, fine, I gave you the choice. And now he decides the only person he can sell to is Osama bin Laden's brother. he can't find any other buyer. So now the younger doctor is going to have to be partners with somebody that he doesn't like or respect. So this is bad from both sides. So I believe that there must be a requirement for the younger person to buy out. And essentially, when the seller signs this kind of agreement, I mean, she basically has hit a home run. We know that we've sold out. We know that somebody bought the first half, and we have a guarantee that they're going to buy the second half based on a certain formula that will be established for the value. Now, the younger person has to simply go out and find an associate or two to be able to take over that doctor's patient base. And you know what? That younger guy is going to make a lot of money. Because now he's not partners with anybody. He's going to be the only partner, and he's going to have associates that he's going to be able to make quite a bit of money on as they're producing dentistry in the practice.
But you're looking at this young guy or gal, their first big jump into the major leagues, they're buying half the practice. Are they ever afraid to sign something that requires them to do something so substantial that they, haven't even imagined yet?
No, because what we're talking about is we're not talking about the fact that they're going to have to purchase the second half tomorrow. I mean, we're talking usually at least 5-6 years out, okay? And obviously, the longer that selling doctor stays in the practice, it's better off for the younger partner, who is now, of course, bought into paying 50% of the expenses and 50% of the overhead and all those kinds of things. So that's why what really has to spend time on, what you really need to, and I'm talking about months and months of meetings and discussion, you need to spend the time setting up this partnership document to determine what's going to happen in the future. It's what I call the what ifs. And contrary to my normal optimistic approach to life, since I have seen so many bad situations, and since partnerships don't always last, believe it, they don't always last, I have to almost be pessimistic at this time and help these doctors design essentially what I would call a prenup to try to anticipate what might happen. You just can't waltz into this thing and say, hey, no worries, we love each other, this is going to be terrific, we're going to work together and everything's going to be wonderful. If you agree that the value to the buyer, the person who just bought in, is based on the seller staying on board and being involved in the practice, to continue to transfer goodwill and to continue to produce at a high level in order to help pay the bills, then all kinds of financial penalties have to be written into this partnership agreement to prevent the negative ramifications to the value of the second half of the practice because of things like death, disability, early retirement or early than what they've been agreed to, or even things I've seen like professional disgrace to either one of the partners. That can have a tremendous effect on the value of a practice. So obviously in this interview, you know, we don't have enough time to begin to discuss all of those details. But the message that I would want to leave with the listeners is that I would suggest that a partnership agreement that is written without these many contingencies identified and clarified, it's just not worth the paper it's printed on.
You know, it's funny when you said, when you jumped from a typically 10-page document to an 80 or 90-page one, I was thinking, what could possibly be in an 80-page document? But the more you talk about the complexity, it seems that, you know, it seems realistic that this document will be so long. And I'm guessing there probably has to be something in there about what if the partnership just doesn't work out? You know, and,
right, of course. But, you know, in terms of it needs to be identified. You can't just say, okay, fine, we're leaving. You know, you take the bottom half of the dental chair, I'm taking the top half of the dental chair.
You take A through L.
Yeah, right. You do those pages, I'll do these. I mean, it really has to be, and there have to be severe penalties, okay, that everybody's got to realize beforehand and agree to, that, hey, let's just say that the selling doctor who sold his 50% interest and has agreed to stay on for at least 5, 6, 7 years. Now, all of a sudden, 2 years into this, says, you know, I think I'm going to retire. Well, you know, and I want you to buy out the second half based on our formula. Well, if in fact that occurs, that person's going to know that he's maybe going to be giving up 30 or 40% of the value of what he thought he was going to get, because he's not abiding by the contract. So there have to be these things put in there. Now, when everybody knows this ahead of time, they're going to behave. They're going to keep up with the obligations that they've agreed to, because there's significant financial implications if, in fact, you don't honor the contract. I mean, that's what a contract is all about. That's why a partnership is so difficult.
And I'm just thinking of all these circumstances, like, you know, what if one party wants out? Are there restrictions as to how far away they can move and what they can do in their practice? And as you said, you know, what if somebody really screws up and damages the reputation? It is very complex.
Right. And you know what? I've got to tell you that as much time as you spend trying to spell out all of the contingencies, there are always going to be things that happen that you just never would have thought. I could tell you story after story of situations. Here's an example. I mean, this totally caught me off guard. When you have a situation where somebody, you know, in these what ifs, said, okay, if you retire early, you're only going to get 80% of the practice value. But if you're disabled, and disability is just so difficult to deal with. I mean, death is easy to deal with because of insurance things, but disability is really complicated. But let's just say that we had built into the contract that if, in fact, you're permanently disabled, you only get 60% of this. So I had a situation where, very sadly, a doctor had a nervous breakdown. And, I mean, I've never, ever been so amazed at the power of mental illness as this. I mean, I saw a guy who I was really, really close with absolutely have a nervous breakdown, and he had to retire from the practice. So now, did he retire because he had to go out on disability and only get a 40% penalty, or did he retire from the practice because he wanted to, okay? And you know, the person who bought in almost sort of took the position. You know, I mean, I don't know if this guy is really, really telling me the whole thing here. You know, so there was a big conflict about whether or not this person truly was disabled, or whether or not he had just sort of decided that he wanted to retire early.
Right. And very, yeah, and as you said.
So that was very confusing. And then it got even more complicated because when they were starting to argue, and it was a pretty significant amount of money that was involved, you know, then became a question where the buyer said, gee, I didn't know that he had these problems because it turns out that this doctor had been on Prozac for 10 years. And, you know, might possibly be somebody that this could happen to. So is it imperative when we're having these conversations of a partnership that this kind of information needs to be shared? So I'm telling you, there's lots of different kind of contingencies that can come up. And so you try to do the best you can to deal with them.